Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Celiac Disease for Dummies by Ian Bloomer, M.D., and Sheila Crow, M.D., narrated by Matthew Boston. Publisher's note: this audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit Tantor.com and type Celiac Disease for Dummies into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code SUPPORT and then click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All figures and tables referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Limit of liability / disclaimer of warranty. The contents of this work are intended to further general scientific research, understanding, and discussion only, and are not intended and should not be relied upon as recommending or promoting a specific method, diagnosis, or treatment by physicians for any particular patient. The publisher and the author make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work, and specifically disclaim all warranties, including without limitation, any implied warranties of fitness for a particular purpose. In view of ongoing research, equipment modifications, changes in governmental regulations, and the constant flow of information relating to the use of medicines, equipment, and devices, the reader is urged to review and evaluate the information provided in the package insert or instructions for each medicine, equipment, or device for, among other things, any changes in the instructions or indication of usage, and for added warnings and precautions. Readers should consult with a specialist where appropriate. The fact that an organization or website is referred to in this work as a citation and/or a potential source of further information does not mean that the author or the publisher endorses the information the organization or website may provide or recommendations it may make. Further, readers should be aware that Internet websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is read. No warranty may be created or extended by any promotional statements for this work. Neither the publisher nor the author shall be liable for any damages arising herefrom. Introduction. What a difference a few years make. It was only a short time ago that few people had ever heard of celiac disease, and when it was a subject of discussion, the conversation was typically rife with misconceptions, misapprehensions, and misinformation. Compounding this unfortunate scenario was the fact that celiac disease was little taught in medical schools, and, outside of select healthcare disciplines, was off the medical radar. Heck, it wasn't just off the radar, it was somewhere south of Alpha Centauri. Well, that was then, and this is now. How topical is celiac disease these days? How much importance is now properly placed on this common condition? Well, let's put it this way. You have an entire book devoted to the subject. There's not much to love about having celiac disease. Celiac disease can make you feel crummy. It can lead to damage to your body. It requires constant treatment and vigilance. And it's a lifelong condition. So if you think that being dealt a celiac disease diagnosis is patently and profoundly unfair, we won't disagree, because you're right. It is unfair. But here's the thing. Although having celiac disease is no piece of cake, the wonderful thing, the absolutely wonderful thing, is that you can be entirely healthy with your celiac disease. You can live a full, active, long, and productive life with your celiac disease. You can explore the ocean depths or climb the Himalayas. You can work on the city subway or have a top-floor office in the nearest skyscraper. You can play in the NFL or play in the backyard sandbox, age permitting. And as for celiac disease not being a piece of cake, well, actually, you can have a piece of cake, so long as it doesn't contain a nutrient called gluten. As we look at in detail in this book, avoiding gluten is the key to successfully living with celiac disease. The world can be your oyster. Hey, Oysters are gluten-free, so have as many as you want. And in this book, we show you how. About this book. We've written this book for people living with celiac disease. And in case you think this phrase is ambiguous, this is by intention. Because if one member of a family has celiac disease, everyone in the family is very much living with celiac disease. Which is all to say that we hope celiac disease for dummies is helpful whether you are the one who has celiac disease or you are reading this book because someone you care about, a child, another family member, or another loved one, has the condition. Throughout this book, when we discuss celiac disease as causing one or another problem, we are typically talking about untreated or insufficiently treated celiac disease. Celiac disease that is properly treated by, as you will discover, meticulously following a diet free of a nutrient called gluten, typically causes nothing. Also, whenever we use the term active celiac disease, we are again referring to celiac disease that is untreated or insufficiently treated, in which case there is still active inflammation in the small intestine, something which we explain in detail in Chapter 2. We hope you find this book helpful, interesting, informative, and even entertaining. We truly love to get your feedback. You can reach us by email at celiacdisease@ianbloomer.com. We apologize in advance, however, for our being unable to provide responses for medical advice. Conventions used in this book. This book is co-written by Sheila, hi, and Ian, hello. Sheila lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, and Ian lives in Toronto, Ontario. So, begging the indulgence of our Canadian readers, we've elected to use U.S. spelling, since that is what most of our readers use. Most people living in Canada and the United States receive the bulk of their health care from a physician. But increasingly, people are also, or instead, seeing physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and other important allied health care professionals. Because it would be onerous to repeatedly write out, and we suspect boring for you to read, each of these titles, we hope you will indulge us and, when we write that we recommend you see your physician or see your primary care provider, that you will read this to mean we are advocating that you contact whichever healthcare professional acts as your main healthcare provider. And speaking of healthcare providers, throughout this book we discuss the terribly important role of registered dietitians in assisting people living with celiac disease to take charge of their condition by healthy, gluten-free eating. Registered dietitians have passed stringent academic requirements and are part of an officially certified healthcare profession. Again, because it gets awfully repetitious to add the word registered before each use of the word dietitian, whenever we use the word dietitian, we are specifically and only referring to registered dietitians. Similarly, when we use the word nutritionist, we are once again using this term interchangeably with registered dietitian. Foolish assumptions. We have written this book based on the assumption that whatever your knowledge of celiac disease, you want to learn more. Period. If you know nothing about celiac disease, you will find this book allows you to readily discover the basics. And if you're already acquainted with the condition, you'll discover additional details to meet your needs. How this book is organized. This book is divided into 6 parts to help you readily find the information you're seeking. Part 1. Dealing with the diagnosis of celiac disease. In this part, we define the condition and look at how it can impact you emotionally and psychologically. We also take a journey down the gastrointestinal tract and look at how it functions both normally and when injured by celiac disease. You'll discover possible causes for celiac disease. Gluten triggers the condition, but why this happens to some people and not others is largely a mystery. The way in which celiac disease is diagnosed, who should be tested for it, and the different types of celiac disease. Part 2. How celiac disease can make you feel. Some people with undiagnosed celiac disease have nary a symptom, while others feel like they've been hit by a train. In this part, we'll look at the many different symptoms that can be caused by celiac disease, and we point out symptoms that might otherwise be potentially passed off as being unrelated. We also look at conditions like anemia that can be caused by celiac disease and other conditions, like type 1 diabetes, with which celiac disease can be associated. Part 3. Treating celiac disease. The key to successfully managing celiac disease is the complete elimination of gluten from your diet. We explore this essential nutritional consideration in detail in this part. We also provide helpful tips for shopping and cooking gluten-free, and what to do should your diet seem not to be working. Also, we explore alternative and complementary treatments. Part 4. The long term. Living and thriving with celiac disease. Until a cure is found, if you have celiac disease today, you're going to have it tomorrow, the next day, and for the foreseeable future. Therefore, it's helpful to know how to deal with celiac disease at various stages of life. In this part, we look at how celiac disease can be managed from childhood to adulthood. We also look at how you and your healthcare team can monitor your celiac disease both when it's under control and when it seems not to be. Lastly, we explore some potentially exciting future therapies that may make living with celiac disease a lot simpler. Part 5. The Part of Tens. The Part of Tens presents key information that you won't want to miss. Here you discover 10 frequently asked questions, likely including those you may have asked yourself, 10 tips for living normally, and 10 myths, misperceptions, and falsehoods you may have heard about celiac disease. Part 6. Appendices. The internet is an invaluable, but sometimes intimidating, or even worse, misleading, resource. In this part, we provide a handy-dandy list of helpful celiac disease websites worth visiting, and a listing of organizations for people living with celiac disease. Icons used in this book. There exist political, intellectual, social, and goodness knows how many other icons in society. Well, we don't discuss those here. No, the icons we mention here are those that serve as little flags or identifiers, bookmarks, if you will, that let you know what information you're going to find in the paragraph that follows. You will hear these icons verbalized in this audiobook. Anecdote. This icon signifies that we're sharing a story about a patient. These stories have been specifically selected because they contain elements that you may well relate to. The names and other identifiers have been changed to maintain confidentiality. Jargon alert. This icon lets you know that we're about to drop some medical jargon on you. Don't be alarmed. We then define or explain the term before we move on. Technical stuff. This icon indicates we're providing information of a technical nature. You may find this interesting to read, but it is not fundamental to your understanding of celiac disease. Remember, when you see this icon, it means the information is essential and you would be well served to pay special attention. Healthcare provider. Many, indeed most, aspects of living with celiac disease you can manage quite nicely on your own, thank you very much. But there are times when you need to seek medical attention. This icon lets you know we're discussing something that will require you to see your primary care provider, be it your family physician, physician assistant, nurse practitioner, and so forth, your celiac disease specialist physician, your dietitian, or another member of your healthcare team in order to get help. Tip. This icon indicates that we're sharing a practical piece of information that will arm you with a time-saving or grief-avoiding measure. Warning. This icon means we're discussing critical issues and that immediate or imminent harm could come to you if the information is overlooked or not heeded. Where to go from here? Celiac Disease for Dummies is written in modular format, which is basically a fancy way of saying that this book is structured so that you can open it to whatever topic interests you at a particular time, rather than having to read it from front to back. Having said that, if you have no familiarity with celiac disease, you may find that reading it in just that way works best for you. Not sure where to start? Well, recognizing there isn't a bad place to begin your journey of discovery, if you've just been diagnosed and are finding the whole notion of having celiac disease overwhelming, have a look at Chapter 1 to discover the emotional impact of being told you have celiac disease. Alternatively, you may want to skip to Chapter 2 and delve right into an exploration of the human gut, how it works, and what happens to the gut if you have celiac disease. Or you may want to do what Ian does whenever he takes a For Dummies book home, other than the ones he's written, and start by reading the Part of Tens chapters. Sure, some of it won't make sense until you've read other parts of the book, but you may still find it the most interesting section of all to read. Part 1. Dealing with the Diagnosis of Celiac Disease. In this part, being diagnosed with celiac disease is, for many people, both a shock, who wants to be told you have a disease for which there is no cure, and a relief, knowing that with a change to your diet, you can maintain good health. In this part, you'll find out how the diagnosis of celiac disease is made, the psychological and physical impact of the condition, and the various types of celiac disease. Chapter 1. Finding Out You Have Celiac Disease. In this chapter, Understanding Celiac Disease, Coming to Terms with the Diagnosis of Celiac Disease, Considering How Celiac Disease Can Make You Feel, Treating Celiac Disease, Living Well with Celiac Disease, Coping with a Celiac Disease Diagnosis, Looking at Celiac Disease Support Groups. When you first find out that you or your loved one has celiac disease, you may be shocked. No one likes to hear bad news, and, as so often happens in this type of situation, you may recall little other than the words, celiac disease, from the conversation you have with your doctor that day. Over the next few days and weeks, your mind may race non-stop as you mull over your new diagnosis and try to come to grips with it. Or, if the diagnosis is brand new to you, perhaps you are right now in the process of trying to deal with the news. Celiac Disease for Dummies provides you not just with the facts about celiac disease, but the tools to help you master it. In this chapter, our goal is to help you understand and come to terms with your diagnosis. Getting to know celiac disease. Celiac disease, also known as celiac sprue, non-tropical sprue, and gluten-sensitive enteropathy, is a condition in which consuming gluten, a protein found in wheat, rye, barley, and some other grains, leads, in susceptible people, to damage to the lining of the small intestine, resulting in the inability to properly absorb nutrients into the body. This can lead to many different symptoms, including fatigue, malaise, feeling generally poorly, bloating, and diarrhea. Left untreated or insufficiently treated, celiac disease can lead to damage to other organs. If properly treated, celiac disease typically leads to nothing. Technical stuff. In your travels, you may see the word celiac spelled as C-O-E-L-I-A-C. Both terms refer to the same condition. C-E-L-I-A-C is the spelling far more commonly used in North America, and hence, the spelling we use throughout this book. Incidentally, the term celiac, or C-O-E-L-I-A-C, comes from the Greek word chela, which refers to the abdomen. Doctors have known about celiac disease for a long time. Articles describing individuals suffering from diarrhea, most likely due to what we now call celiac disease, first appeared over 2,000 years ago. It was, however, Dr. Samuel Gee who, in London, England in 1887, first described the condition in detail and even presciently observed that successful therapy was to be found in changing a patient's diet. Dealing with the diagnosis of celiac disease. Perhaps you are already aware, and if you're not, you soon will be, as it is a recurring theme in this book, of the key role that a nutrient called gluten plays in triggering celiac disease. As we discuss in Chapter 2, however, although gluten triggers the condition, that's not quite the same as saying it causes the condition. By way of analogy, if you were ever working on your computer and you routinely pressed a key only to suddenly have your computer crash, one could appropriately say that pressing the key triggered the crash. But an underlying software glitch caused the problem in the first place. What then causes celiac disease? The quick answer is we don't know. The more complicated answer is a combination of having a susceptibility to the condition by virtue of one's genetic makeup, in conjunction with some as yet unknown environmental factor. Chapter 2 contains the full story on the cause, as best we understand it, of celiac disease. Unless people are ill with some sort of gastrointestinal, GI, ailment, they understandably generally think little, if at all, about the incredibly complex processes involved in extracting the good from the food we eat and ridding our bodies of the stuff we don't need. That makes sense. When celiac disease enters your life, either directly or by virtue of a family member now being affected by it, however, having some familiarity with your GI system proves beneficial. Chapter 2 explains how your GI system works when you're healthy and how it malfunctions when you have celiac disease. Some diseases are easy to diagnose. Tell a doctor you have spells where you see flashing lights followed by a throbbing headache, and, dollars to donuts, the doctor will quickly inform you that you may be suffering from migraine headaches. Diagnosing celiac disease is never that simple. It involves an interview and examination by a physician and necessitates investigations typically including blood tests and always having a fiber optic scope pass through your mouth, down your esophagus, through your stomach, and into your small intestine, where a biopsy is then taken. Okay, we admit, that may not sound particularly pleasant, but as you see in Chapter 3, it ain't so bad at all. If you are diagnosed with celiac disease, or if a close relative has it, you may be wondering whether other family members are similarly affected. In Chapter 4, we look at who should be screened, tested, for celiac disease, and how the screening should be done. In Chapter 5, we discuss the different types of celiac disease, including those forms typically found at the time of screening. Discovering celiac disease. The first definitive report of celiac disease was made by Dr. Samuel Gee in London, England, in 1887, in his seminal study, On the Celiac Affection. Dr. Gee astutely observed that, if the patient can be cured at all, it must be by means of diet. He experimented with various diets and noted that, a child who was fed upon a quart of the best Dutch mussels daily throve wonderfully, but relapsed when the season for mussels was over. It is perhaps no surprise to any parent that Dr. Gee also reported, next season the child could not be prevailed upon to take them. In 1950, the link between celiac disease and wheat was finally established. In that year, Dr. Willem Carel Dickey, a Dutch pediatrician, reported that children with symptoms of celiac disease got better when wheat was removed from their diet. His discovery was based on observations that during World War II, during which wheat products were in short supply in Holland, previously unwell children, now deprived of wheat-based products, had relief from their symptoms, with them only to return upon the reintroduction of wheat into their diet after the end of the war. With the realization that the absence of wheat relieved symptoms and the availability of wheat resulted in symptoms, Dr. Dickey joined that pantheon of clever people who, by using just their keen powers of observation, had made discoveries that were to improve the lives of millions of people. Knowing how having celiac disease feels. It could well be that you were diagnosed with celiac disease after having been unwell for quite some time. If so, then when you read this section's heading, Knowing How Having Celiac Disease Feels, You may have said to yourself, "Hey, I can tell you how it feels. It feels crummy. I had belly pain, and I had indigestion, and I had..." Yep, those things sure can happen. But so too can many other symptoms, or, on the other side of the spectrum, few or even no symptoms at all. In Chapter 6, we look at the whole panoply of symptoms one can experience if one has celiac disease. Some of these may lead you to nod your head in recognition, such as the symptoms we just mentioned, and some may take you by surprise, such as discovering the link between celiac disease and conditions as varied as skin rash and infertility. As we mentioned earlier in this chapter, if left untreated or insufficiently treated, celiac disease can not only make you feel unwell, but it can lead to serious damage to your body, including causing complications like osteoporosis, anemia, and more. In Chapter 7, we take a detailed look at these potential complications and how to avoid them. In Chapter 8, we look at the many ailments that are not directly caused by celiac disease but are associated with it. We describe the kinds of symptoms these ailments cause and the symptoms to which you should pay the most heed. For many people, the most feared complication of celiac disease is cancer. Thankfully, celiac disease seldom leads to this, but it can. In Chapter 9, we make you aware of the types of cancer that are linked to celiac disease and, most importantly, early warning signs on which you should keep a close watch. Treating celiac disease. Celiac disease can make you feel unwell. It can be a hassle to live with. It can cause complications, including damage to your body. Oh, joy! So now the good news. You have ultimate power over this condition. Even better, this power is derived not from taking a truckload of pills, or, indeed, any pills at all. No, this power is derived from you modifying your diet to eliminate any and all gluten. Modifying your diet to eliminate gluten intake, however, isn't simple and requires lots of work and, like they say about the price of freedom, eternal vigilance. In Chapter 10, we look in detail at what constitutes a gluten-free diet and provide all sorts of tips to help you make the necessary changes to the way you eat and how you eat. And, speaking of vigilance, we also look at hidden sources of gluten, for which you should be on the lookout. When it comes to celiac disease, gluten is the most important nutrient that affects the health of your GI system, but it's not the only one. As you see in Chapter 11, celiac disease can lead to low iron levels and difficulty digesting certain milk products, a condition called lactose intolerance. Infrequently, but sometimes, despite carefully following a gluten-free diet, a person continues to feel unwell. Could it be that gluten is sneaking its way into your diet? Or could it be, perhaps, that you either don't have celiac disease, doctors do make mistakes, including mistaken diagnoses, or that you have an additional ailment that's causing your symptoms? In Chapter 12, we explore these possibilities. Chapter 13 looks at alternative and complementary therapies that some people with celiac disease sometimes consider employing. Living and thriving with celiac disease. Although people living with celiac disease share many similar challenges, differences exist for some people based on age, living condition, home or in a college dorm, for instance, and special circumstances, such as attempting to conceive or being pregnant. Chapters 14 and 15 cover living and thriving with celiac disease in these situations. Perhaps it's been some time since you were diagnosed with celiac disease, and you are nicely on track with your gluten-free existence. What then? Do you need to be monitored for celiac disease-related health issues? If so, how should the monitoring be done? Chapter 15 describes the ongoing care of celiac disease and ways that you can continue to empower yourself. Better ways of managing celiac disease may emerge in the future. Indeed, there may come a time when you may not need to follow a gluten-free diet. In Chapter 16, we explore these and other possible options for dealing with celiac disease that may come about someday. Handling the news. From the time you were first told you, or your loved one, had celiac disease, until the time you picked up and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?